Okay, good morning. Welcome to my favorite day. I was going to wear my nastiest manifestor t-shirt, but I decided to sort of keep that at bay. My goal throughout this week is to try to give you an idea of what the real advantages in any type. I mean, most of the things that we deal with when we deal with type is that we deal with their dilemma. You know, manifestors are angry people. And because we're angry people, and we're angry because nobody understands us, sounds like one of those sad movies, like, nobody understands me, I'm a manifestor. But they don't. They are very uncomfortable around us. You know, there's nothing funnier to watch than people trying to stand around a manifestor. I mean, it's really cute, right? You know, and you can't get in. They can't get in. They do everything, generators particularly, you know. They put their big enveloping aura around you, and they're trying to sort of pull you in as a manifestor, and you're just going, go away, you know. And you're not even wanting to do that because, of course, all of us are human beings have gone through this whole conditioning process, and the worst thing you want to do to somebody is actually say what your aura is telling them, which is to go to hell, go away, leave me alone, stay out of my face. And you don't want to say that to them. You actually want them to be there because you think that's what you're supposed to be doing. So you say to them, you know, why don't you? And your aura is going, go away, go away, go away. Not easy to be a manifestor. Not easy to be a manifestor parent. I know that movie. Not easy. It's not easy to get into one of these auras. You cannot. You cannot. See, manifestors had their glory a long time ago. That's the thing to grasp. See, I've got to live on memories, you know? I got to live on the wonder of manifestors building these fantastic civilizations. Right? You know, the whole history of the seven-centered being is nothing but generators being slaves to brilliant manifestors driving ahead. I loved it when generators were my slaves. It was fantastic. I'd say to them, you can't do what I do. And they say, yes, I can, yes, I can. And I would watch them try. And then I didn't have to do it. I mean, they're great, eh? They're good at working and, you know, nothing like having a busy, easily manipulated generator around if you're a manifestor. And if it was 300 years ago or more. Generators don't pay much attention to us anymore. You know? It's sort of like, we've got a problem. They're right. We don't belong here. Not an easy thing to either say or think about. I mean, manifestors truly have had their day. If you look at strategy and authority, and you understand that every strategy is derived from a true mechanic within the vehicle, if you look at the strategy of a generator or the strategy of a projector or the strategy of a reflector, it is all legitimately rooted in mechanics, not the manifestor. Don't tell anybody, but it's made up. It's true. It's true. You see, look, if manifestors don't pretend that they have a strategy, they're going to have a really hard time in this life. Really hard time. They're going to be very alone. Remember, when I say alone, I mean alone. I don't mean lonely. I don't mean that there aren't people around. Very alone, very lost within themselves, and very angry with the world around them. See, a manifestor is unlike any other type. It doesn't have the burdens that it seems other types have. You know, waiting to respond, waiting for an invitation, waiting for the moon. It seems like we've got this great advantage. But everybody else dislikes that. Everybody. I mean, everybody. And the moment you're a manifester, you're 5 years old. You're a manifester. It's a gorgeous day. You have learned how to turn the knob on the door. Right? You go over there, you turn that knob, you open that door, you go outside. You have a wonderful time. You get lost. I'm actually telling a story about myself. You go out and get lost. Your mother ends up calling the police, the fire department. I was off in the woods next to the house, you know, sitting under a tree playing. I guess I was reliving or about to live my future or something. And all of a sudden, there's all these guys with big hats, you know. We found him. Was my mother pissed? You know? Oh, I'm never going to let you out of my sight again. You're never allowed to do this. You have to ask permission. Blah, 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 blah. What did I do? I opened the door because I could. I went out into the world because that's my right. You see, the strategy is not real. It's not like there's a natural place inside of me that wants to inform you. There isn't. There is not a natural place inside of me that wants to ask anybody's permission for anything. I'd rather die. Because there is no true mechanic to that. It's about survival. See, the manifestor child, I was lucky. My mother was a freak for politeness and manners and all that stuff. Saved my life. You know? See, the only way that a manifestor can protect themselves is to pretend that they're not really powerful. Is to pretend that they need the other. Excuse me, I'm a poor, weak, out-of-place manifestor, and I would really like you to help me cross the street. Yeah, right. And if you say that to a generator, they go, oh, I'd love to help you. Let me take you, nice, easy, kind, gentle, sweet manifestor, across the street. It's the only way I get across the street. It's the only way manifestors get anywhere. See, all we ever meet is resistance. It's all we ever meet is resistance. It makes you really angry. You know, and it doesn't have to be wild, outrageous rage. It's that anger that lies there inside and it never goes away. I know it tastes so deeply. Who the hell are you to stand in my way? Why are you in my way in the first place, you idiot? You don't know what I know. Go away. Get out of my face. See, I have a great image of a manifestor driving a truck. And you're driving a truck down the street and there's an old lady crossing the street. And you're a manifestor, right? Now, you can't just run her over. Because it's not nice. There are laws about things like this, right? So there's a certain conditioning that the manifestor takes in. It's sort of like, hey, we can't really just run her over. Let's inform. And the thing about a manifestor is, while you are honking the horn, you are not taking your foot off the gas. You get out of the way, lady, or you die. It's your problem, not mine. I told you I'm coming. And you see, the lady's grateful. Because if you didn't honk the horn, she'd be, you know, highway food. See, that's why they don't like us. Because manifestors drive around and they don't honk. And you see, this doesn't fit into everybody's idea about the way human beings are supposed to be. I'll never forget my first public lecture in Taos, New Mexico. It was in some kind of city hall thing. It was a weird thing. Lots of people. Real spiritual, new age angel people, you know? And I can remember that night so well because I threw somebody out. You know, I'm standing on stage doing my rap, and there was somebody who kept interrupting me to asking questions. And finally, I said to this person, I said, you know, this is a free evening. You're my guest. Get out. And it was a very interesting evening because when I told him to get out, everybody's really silent. And then from the back of the room, somebody says, yeah, get out, right? And you can hear all the others coming in. Yeah, get out. Yeah, right, get out. Poor guy. When it's over, one of these people comes up to me who was doing my coordinating and said, oh, that was all awful. You know, you're supposed to be nice. You're supposed to be holy. You know? You do not throw people out, right? We're manifestors. You see, there is a part of us that accepts no morality, no law. I'm an ego manifester. That's one of the ugliest creatures on the planet. Want to see my picture? It's here. It's page, I don't know what that is. Page 4. Ugly creature. Very dangerous. Ask all the women I've left behind. Very dangerous. An ego manifester? Can you imagine? My whole life operates on my willpower. You know what that is when somebody gets in your way? See, now I honk. I do. I honk. I let them know. I say, don't do that. You know? Don't get in my way. I let them know. And if they're still there, well, that's their problem. There's two sides of every type. The not-self-manifester lives with their anger, and because they live with their anger, they never get to know love. But I just don't. One of the most difficult things in a manifester's life is love. You see, they don't have a natural way of connecting to another aura. And what that means is that psychologically, love becomes something very complex and often difficult. There is no sense of being bound to somebody, truly connected to them. The aura doesn't permit it. I mean, when I think back to my childhood and my relationship with my mother, and you know, there's this mother with this manifester child, and I was her baby, you know, the last of her children, and I knew she really loved me. But you know, she could never get near me. I mean, it was just not possible. And you know, you think about the psychology of that, how difficult that can be, what it is to carry one of these things. And you see, this anger is something that is a chemistry. And it's this old inheritance from the past that says, hey, I used to run all this. You want me now to genuflect? I need your permission? I mean, you know, it's what must have felt like for the first kings who had to give up their power to an elected whatever. Really? Them? They're going to rule? I'm going to ask their permission? Boy, is that tough. And you see, the other side of the manifester's anger is what their signature is, what their goal is. We're here to find peace. It's what we want more than anything else. Peace. We don't want this resistance. I mean, I live in a bubble. I come out of my bubble maybe once a day. For short periods of time, you know? I live in a bubble where I do not have to deal with the natural resistance. I'm not talking about people you know. I'm talking about what it feels like for me to walk into a crowded cafe. What it feels like with this aura. See, there is nothing that welcomes you when you're a manifester. Nothing. Nothing. See, don't put it out. See, when you're a manifester, people don't know whether you care about them or not. They don't know whether you love them. They don't know whether you like them. They don't know whether you respect them. They don't know any of that because they don't naturally feel it. See, generators, you know, the expression, your heart is on your sleeve, you know, this kind of stuff. When a generator steps into my aura, they give me everything, including breakfast. You know, the whole thing. It's all in their aura. You know, and it's like, okay, you know, you're with me now. You know, I mean, they put themselves there. Projector? You know, they hone in on you. I can feel them from anywhere. You know, they're like marine snipers, you know. Let me get that manifester. I'm honing in with their aura. It's like, oh my God, please let go for a moment, okay? Just a moment, back off. You know, and then you're a manifester and you walk into one of these environments and you've got these generator auras all around. And of course, what happens is that they don't get to you. They just kind of do this around you. I mean, I feel it. I got three open motors. It is insane. You know, and then the pain you get in your back is the projector who's trying to get your attention. And all of it is just bouncing off. And then they walk away and say, you know, he's not very friendly. You know, it's sort of hard to get access, right? You know? It's hilarious. It's the aura. See, this is the magic. When you understand, you want to really understand human beings, you understand their aura. Because the aura is the way in which they interact with the world around them. And manifestors don't interact. You know, when we're doing it, it's really a job. You know, it's easy for me up here. I have aura distance. I'm in my own little space. You know, I'm up in the air, you know. I can interact at this level. I can do my old manifestor trip. We used to rule the world anyway. But to be what I've lived here on this island, you know, to be amongst people, the horror of what it is to be a manifestor if you don't get it, it's an awful life. It really is. It's not nice. You know, as long as you're locked into not understanding why the relationship you have with the rest of the world, why it's there, you can never be free of the conditioning it brings. I always thought there was something wrong with me. I mean, I really did. You know, it was obvious to me, I am unemotional. I'm a manifester. You know, it just seemed to me that I had a problem connecting to other people. It just seemed, you know, I must have a problem. I had no idea. I had no idea that there were all these people that wanted to have access to me who couldn't. Most of the time I didn't even notice. Because you're locked into your own tight aura. It's very lonely in there. And then, of course, we go through the mechanisms of our lives, lovers and children and all of this. I mean, I love my children dearly, but they know. I mean, they know what my aura is. We don't spend all that time together in aura contact. Not possible. I mean, I live with a household full of generators. After I've been with them for 10 minutes, I want to go into my room. Nothing personal. I just want out of the frequency. I am a pure, non-sacral being. I won't be in that frequency. And I mean, it's not a, you know, it's not a mental thing. It's not a psychological thing. It's not a personal thing. It's physical. And you see, as long as you do not understand that in the vast majority of manifestors, I mean, after all, it's 8% of the human population. It's about 500 million people on the planet. You got a 500 million angry, lonely people. That's not exactly a nice thing. And the chaos that that brings. And we're the ones who want peace. This is our only goal in life. See, everything about this knowledge is about being able to eliminate resistance so that you can get to a place where you can operate correctly as yourself. For a manifester, it is something that has to be grafted on. Most manifestors will never come to an event like this, to a reading, whatever. Most manifestors never will. Of the thousands and thousands of readings that I've done, and as a manifester, one would think I would have less than their global population. Maybe 1% of my readings over the years have been manifestors. Because they're already turned away. They're already closed off. They're already angry at the whole thing. And because there is no natural strategy in them. You know, there are emotional people who on their own learn to wait. There are generators who on their own discover that response is good for them. There are occasionally projectors who really realize that the best things in their lives were always invitations. And it all resonates deeply inside of them, but not for the manifester. You know, if you're going to train a manifester child to be polite, it's not like it's natural for it. That it enjoys it. That it wants to learn all that. That it wants to play by the rules. It's not true. It's a training. Any manifestor child that doesn't have that training, that by the time they're an adult, it's probably too late. As I said, very few adult manifestors will ever change their lives. But as an adult manifestor, what it means to inform, that honking of the horn, boy, did it ever change my life. You know? See, I had no reason to tell anybody any of this, after all. I was a madman. I had had a bizarre experience. I was all alone, and I was a freak, and sort of liked it, quite frankly. It was a very special life. And honestly, I had no desire or reason to tell anybody anything. I didn't want to be the guy that heard the story from a voice. You know, I didn't want the whole trip, didn't want to have anything to do with it. And most of all, I didn't want to deal with years and years and years and years and years and years and years of resistance. I mean, what it has been for me over these 20 years as a manifester to deal with putting something new in the world and dealing with the archetype of resistance. And I keep on standing up there and informing. You know, letting them know, save my life, I have such a blessed life, eh? It is so easy for me to enjoy being me, being this manifester. I mean, manifestors are here to have impact. It's not like we're useless. I've impacted beings all over this planet. We're not useless. It's not the point. We have the impact. But we have to know how to deal with the other. See, our impact is based on who do we influence. It's my favorite thing for a manifestor to think about. Right? Favorite thing for a manifester to think about is you're contemplating something, whatever it may be. And before you do it, try to figure out how many people that's actually going to affect. And then you begin to understand what it means to be a manifester. Because you see, we have a natural impact. It's natural. It's our gift. You know, the very fact that we have these unusual repelling auras, different from everybody else, we stand out. They know us. They see us. They don't know what to make of it. And we do, in fact, have impact. The reason the manifestors don't come to things like this, don't come to readings, is that we have no interest in ourselves. After over 20 years in this business, I'm still learning about me because it's not the most interesting thing to me. I'm a manifester. I'm not a bloody generator. I mean, generators, you know, sit in the temple of, you know thyself, which is wonderful, but it's not me. I'm not here to know thyself. I couldn't care less. Impact? Yeah, that's interesting. That's what a manifester is interested in. Can I have impact? What kind of impact? Everybody that I've ever done a reading to who wasn't a manifester, I always told them that the best things in life are just going to come to you. It's a great truth. It's wonderful. I mean, you know, if there is an ideal, it is the pure generator. I mean, I can't think of anything more perfect. It's just perfect. All it has to do is just resonate in that response. And it is the classic example that the gods give and deliver and life is sweet. But you see, manifestors, we're not like that. We're not the lilies of the field. We're not. We're warriors. I mean, that's what we are. The fact that we are now in retirement, forced retirement, doesn't mean that that still isn't what we are. I like to see myself metaphorically as some gorgeous black stallion in a field that nobody rides anymore. The great stud put out to pasture. That's the manifester. But you can still put on a bit of a show, eh? You can still have your impact. You can still have a good life. I mean, I don't care that this world belongs to generators and projectors. By the way, folks, you can have it. It's all okay with me. If you want to take charge, yeah, please, you know, go ahead. Us manifestors, we're in retirement. We don't want to run the world anymore. We don't. We just want the world to stop bothering us. We would like to be left alone in our pastures to enjoy our lives. So what we do is we pretend that we're just like them. See, that's what I do. I'm really good at pretending I'm a pretend generator. At dinner time with my generator family, I go, You know, I just pretend. You know? If there is anything that I do, I say, I'm going to do this now. You know? I let them know that I'm safe. I mean, if you talk to people who knew me in the first part of my life, I was always disappearing. You know, I have the design of a disappeared person, which is what I was anyway. You know, I'm the kind of guy who gets up and goes for a cup of coffee and never comes back. Eh? So now I pretend. I'm going to go watch a movie now, okay? I'm going to go into my own aura and I'm going to go watch a movie now, okay? Yeah, good. You know, I pretend. And they think, oh, good manifester. Nice manifester. not dangerous at all. We can trust this manifester. Look how sweet that is. They're telling us what they're going to do. Ah, it's brilliant. You know? And you see, if you don't do that, and you just get up, and you walk into your room, everybody's saying, what's the matter? What happened? Is something wrong? Are you angry? How many times in my life I've been asked if I'm angry when I walked out of a room? I just walk out of the room. You know? These are aura people, you know? And you walk out of the room and they go, where'd the aura go? You know? We couldn't hold on to that. And they don't like it. So you got to go, I'm going to my room now. Okay? And everything's fine. You know? He's in his room now. We know where he is. Everything's okay. Don't worry. Ah, what it is to be a manifester. We're the ones who always have to do things. I mean, we're the ones who have to do them. I mean, if you like slapstick comedy, this is the manifester. Always getting a pie in the face. You know, we're the ones who have to do it first. This is what we do. Everybody's sitting around saying, I'm waiting for my response. Okay. And the other one says, no, I'm waiting for an invitation. Okay. And the other one says, look, I'm waiting for the moon. Okay. But the boat is filling up with water. And I don't want to empty it out by myself. We have to do it. And then they get annoyed with us. How come he gets to do that? And then they go against you. Okay, you want to go your way? We're going to put up as much resistance as we can. While you're bailing out, we'll bring in more water. That'll teach you. See, I've spent years pumping up everybody else. You know, generators and projectors and, you know, you're all terrific and you're all wonderful and give me a break, you know? I mean, this is a manifester day, right? I don't care if you're, by the way, if you're not a manifester, sorry, too bad. Don't get to see what this one's like, you know, next life. See, all we want is peace. Think about it. We are the only beings on this planet who actually want peace. I mean, generators just want to be satisfied. You know, they can be satisfied in war. They can be satisfied in hell. They can be satisfied anywhere. They're the most incredible creatures. You know, as long as they're operating correctly, they can be satisfied at the bottom of a pit. Projectors, they want their success. They can be successful at killing, loving, whatever, as long as they get their success. And I am not a moralist. I don't care if they're correct and they go this way or that way, wherever it is, let them have their success. Good for you. Reflectors want their surprise. Let's hope that we continue to have some surprises. But only manifestors want peace. It's us. We who created warfare. We now want peace. I made a mistake. You know? When we were in charge, war was fun. Now that we're not in charge, war is not fun. We got this collective generator projector wars where they kill everybody. It's no fun anymore. I used to like to kill the other guy. Not his children in his village. We manifestors never did that. Sort of. But now we want peace. That's my job. I'm here to bring peace on earth. The gods do love a good joke. But it's true. And of course, it's not about bringing peace to the other. It's about our lives. See, the moment that I understood that I was here all alone, I mean, the moment that I understood that the only authority that was ever going to matter was my own, and the moment that I lived by my own authority is the moment that I began to understand that peace was possible for me in this life. I mean, I have an open emotional system. I have an open root system. I mean, you can see my design there. I have these three open motors. I had a very powerful not-self. Avoiding confrontation and truth, never knowing when enough was enough, always being under pressure, thinking about all kinds of shit that did not matter. And meeting absolutely nothing but resistance in my life. Nothing. And it was infuriating because I was smarter than anybody else and my life was a mess. And I looked at them and I thought, what's going on here? And I had no peace. Just anger. Just anger. And you know, being unemotional, the anger would turn into a kind of ugly rage. I mean, I can remember those moments. Unbelievable. To be so out of control. And it wasn't me, and I didn't know. I mean, this is the great tragedy in this life, is that human beings walk around and nobody has ever taught them about themselves, let alone our children. Human beings don't even know how to operate in their own vehicle. All the stuff that we were taught by our parents and our teachers, most of it was just lies. Most of it had nothing to do with what we were or are. I have great empathy for every generator because they're raised to be manifestors and they're born with frustration. Their whole life is frustration. How painful that is. See, it's about oneself. The peace for a manifestor doesn't come from playing the game with the other. That just reduces the resistance. It makes it easier for us to be social. The key is our authority. We're all cursed by mind. The smarter you are, the deeper the curse. This is what mind does. It is not here to decide for us. It is not here to rule our lives. It is not here to control our movement in this life. You see, the real change for me wasn't when I began to play the manifestor game of informing. That has simply given me my power in terms of my relationship to my environment. What changed for me was that I started to live existentially. That's my design. I'm a splenic manifestor. I only know what I know in the moment. And I can only trust what I know in the moment. Nothing else. Took me a long time to back away from the power of this mind and thinking, well, if it's so smart, it must know how to run my life. And then I look back and realize even the thought of that is ridiculous. My mind did a horrendous job in my life for me. Horrendous. And then came this magical thing, this breaking away from mind running your life. You know, the moment that I had the freedom to just sit in this experience of now and begin to understand how profound that was for me. That I didn't have to think about what to do, what to say yes or no to. I didn't have to work out elaborate strategies for this and that. I didn't have to torment myself. For the first time in my life, I began to look out of these eyes and see You see, it doesn't matter what type you are. Everything begins with the same thing. It begins with understanding that if you do not make decisions as yourself, you're not going to get your life. And if you're a manifester, it means you're going to feel this emptiness. See, the peace is the reward. It is the silence in your spirit, this peace. It's about not having to feel like you must demonstrate. It's about learning to see that others do see you. They do. And it's about understanding that the moment that you're correct within yourself, you know how to meet that other. We are, as manifestors, here to impact the other, and we're here to impact them with our outer authority. This is the whole thing to understand about the nature of mind. It's not like mind is waste. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. My mind's good for you. Your mind may be good for me. That's what it's about. The dilemma is that most minds are homogenized. They're filled with the same cliches. Everything that we see about human beings in the way out of their openness, that they become something that they are not. And it controls the way they think and the way they see. A blind manifester is a suffering manifester. And the difficult thing is that as manifestors, we suffer in silence. We don't cry on other people's shoulders. We don't do that. We don't even know how, really. We're in ourselves. You know, when a generator suffers, it can actually share its suffering. I mean, I know those moments of generators in their pain and discomfort where you can take in all of that from their aura. They don't have to be alone, ever. They are a binding force on the planet. But manifestors, it's all inside us. We have no way of getting that out. It just sits there, and it's not comfortable. See, what choice do we have? We cannot just go out and interact with the other. They do not trust us. I remember when I started doing public lectures, it was the first thing I said to people when I got up on stage. Don't trust me. We're not here to be trusted. Can't trust a manifestor. If you say you trust a manifestor, you're a liar. Because inside your aura, your whole mechanism, no trust. It's just not there. And the moment you don't play the game with the other, that lack of trust comes right to the surface. See, I knew they were like that. I was just waiting for them to show it to me. They're always waiting for us to be what they don't like. It's my joke about the manifestor coming out of the womb, and the mother looks at the manifestor child and goes, uh-oh, you know? Uh-oh, we got one of these. You know, you're really going to have to pay attention to this one. This is going to be a problem. Right away. I nearly killed my mother when she gave birth to me. Problem right away, you know. Kick it off and get it going. This one's trouble. There isn't a manifestor child that's ever been born whose mother didn't say, uh-oh. And then they have a generator child and they think they had God. Oh, you know. And the generator aura all fuzzy and warm. This is my baby, right? You know, and the manifestor child sort of like, well, I don't know, there's that one over there. We live our whole lives that way. We are always a disappointment. You know, this is one of the ironies and the dilemma of manifestor. There's this wonderful movie, but I won't get into that. But anyway, there's a line from a movie I really like, because somebody said, was really impressed with somebody, something, and this guy said, Charlie Chaplin went to a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest and came in third. He said, that's a story. If you get that joke, you're really good. You know, manifestors, eh? See, a generator child's so perfect because you can demand that they act like a manifester. Isn't that insane? See, these parents get a generator child and they say, oh, look, a little manifester. I mean, really? They, you know, that child is going to hear nothing but do this, do that, be this, be that, go here, go there, do this, do that. And the little generator is learning how to manifest. You know, natural frustration from the start. Because the parents know that it's really not deep inside, not awareness. But you see, they start the conditioning process. The moment the manifester comes, the parents say, look, we need chains, handcuffs, door locks. You know, the manifester child with an open G. You know, you see them when they're 3 years old with a harness on and they're wired up to the clothesline in the backyard so they can't disappear. Because you know damn well with an open G that if they go off somewhere, they're never coming back. And nothing will stop them. Manifestor children are the only babies that are ever on leashes. Well, it's true. People walk around with their manifestor babies on a leash. Don't want them to get away from us. Oh, yeah, I see. We got a lot of manifestors in this room. You know the movie. And this is what people want to do with us. I mean, adult people. Lovers, friends, you know. Can I put a leash on you? Nice collar, okay. And I mean, I'll give you a fairly long chain. You know, I mean, how much chain do you actually need? Okay. And everything will be okay then, all right? Right. And then I can trust you. Because I can yank on your chain. And everybody who has a manifester in their life wants to put a leash on them. What to say? And it's not like that's conscious. People aren't that smart. It's just there in the aura. It's just there in the mechanism. It's a very basic, visceral response to the aura of a manifester. And you see, I don't like wearing a collar. You know? Don't like it at all. So I have learned to play the manifester game. And you see, it's a delight. And this is the whole thing that a manifester has to understand. I mean, obviously, you can only play the game if you are operating correctly, because otherwise you don't have the awareness it takes. But this whole business about letting the other person know, it's not because they have a right to know. Fuck them. They don't. I don't inform because somebody has a right to know. I inform so they'll get off my back. That's all. It's just politics. You know, I give you what you need, you get off my back. I give you what you need, and you keep the collar and the leash in your drawer somewhere and leave me alone. And so, yes, I will do that. I'll play nice. I will let you know. Just don't take it for granted that you get that from me because you deserve it, have earned it. Should have it. It's not about the other. See, it's one of the dilemmas of the manifestor is that we have to remind ourselves every day that there are actually other human beings in the world. and that we should pay some attention to them, particularly the ones that have a blood connection to us. You know? I mean, it just reminds us. You know, you get up in the morning and it's like, oh, shit, there are people in this world, right? And they're not like us. And I'm going to have to play this game. But then if you don't play, no peace. Oh, and the peace is sweet. It's really sweet. But you have to play the game. Much easier to teach our manifestor children well. It's the best hope for manifestors of the future. Is to be able to get to young manifestors. It's wonderful. You know, so they don't have to have this discomfort. They don't have to misunderstand their relationship to others. I didn't think people ever wanted to have anything to do with me. It's a manifestor aura. You assume that it's just, you know, I remember going through school. I remember what that was like. This kind of an aura, how uncomfortable that can be. And you see, you don't know until you live your truth, and then you suddenly realize that, yes, it's not that people are not interested in you. They are. They just don't know how to deal with you. So you got to make it easier for them. You know, the manifestor has to bend its head to the majority so that we can live in peace. Okay, let's have a break. Let's get a little closer to how we get there. Because how we get there as a manifestor is, it's quite an ordeal. The ordeal begins with the fact that we're not interested in ourselves. This is the first problem. It's the first thing that a manifestor has to deal with is that, you know, I never found it interesting. I remember when I first came to this island and I had all these sannyasin friends of mine, and they really got off on talking about everything, anything, you know, to each other and about each other and... you know, all these kind of opening things up and discussing this and talking about their inner this and their inner that. I didn't have any innards. You know? All I knew about the world was it was in front of my eyes somewhere, you know? I mean, I never looked in here. I wasn't the kind of person that when a relationship went bad, I would look inside and say, what happened? You know? What did I do? What didn't I know? What didn't I see? I mean, that's not being a manifestor. So our first problem is that we don't want to know. And the reason we don't want to know is that we don't want anybody else to tell us. You know? The hardest thing in the world to do is to tell a manifestor anything. Anything. I mean, it's impossible. So the manifestor does not naturally have a place inside of them that gives room to somebody walking up to them and saying, hey, you got a problem and I can help you. And the manifestor says, fuck off. Because that's not natural. We don't want anybody to fix us, to repair us, to correct us, to control us. Somebody telling you how they're going to make your life better is just another leash to a manifestor. Another control mechanism. Another way for somebody else to lay their trip on the poor manifestor. And so the manifestor can't stand it. You know, it's my joke about the manifestor with a heart attack in the middle of the street. On the ground, holding their chest. One of those sweet, big aura generators comes rushing over and says, can I help you? And the manifestor said, fuck! Let me die here alone. I don't need you. You're not going to help me. It's too late. We don't want anybody to help us. I remember those people in my life who wanted to help me. I mean, I'm a 5'1 manifester, eh? I was suspicious of God when I was 3. You want to help me? What is it you want from me? See, that's a manifester. We don't want to be controlled. So it's natural that manifestors who are the most deeply lost in their conditioning and all alone in their aura are going to ignore good advice when they get it. It's not for them. I mean, for me, it's always been the tragedy. It's always been so clear to me that, you know, I call myself an apostate manifester. I'm really good for generators and projectors and reflectors. And my manifester family is sort of, you know, all the lost sheep. I count my blessings every time I meet one. It's like, oh, nice, maybe at least this one. Because unless it's your fractal, unless it's your great good fortune as a manifestor, you don't show up for these things. You don't change your life. You end up living the same old patterns, the patterns of your parents, the patterns of your community. You just try to do the best you can to blend into the movie, and you suffer in silence inside, and it hurts. And yet it's not natural to say, help me. It isn't. You know, this is the very thing, the only thing that gets in the way of the manifester and their fulfillment as a being. Is that they have a glimpse. You don't have to know a lot about yourself if you're a manifester. You don't. This is not about being a generator that needs to understand themselves. It's not about a projector that has to master understanding others. That's their trip. As a manifestor, you need to know the basic minimum. And that means, where is your authority? The strategy we know is fake. I mean, the strategy is just fake. The strategy is just politics. But the authority is mechanical. The authority is real. Take a look at my design, right? Whatever that is, page 4. There's no strategy written in this design. None. It's not there in the mechanics. No matter where you look, lines, color, tone, base, wherever you want to look, you're never going to find in a manifestor's design their strategy, because it's a lie. It's a tool. But, oh boy, can you find the authority. See, I always prefer dealing with women, because in dealing with women, there is a greater openness. One of the most difficult things for a man who is splenic is to trust his intuition. You know, you look at my design, I got a very strong, fixed mind. And yet my authority is my intuition, my spleen. Everything about my life is decided existentially by my immune system in the moment. You come up to me and say, can I talk to you? And I go, no. I don't know why I say no. It's what comes out of me in the moment, and it's my immune system saying, don't talk to these people. They got a cold and they're going to give it to you, or whatever. 10 minutes later, they can come up to me and say, can I talk to you? The same person, same question. And I can hear my spleen go, okay. I don't know what changed. And if my mind gets into trying to figure it out, you go nuts. I mean, there's this wonderful story I told the other day. It's a great story. I live in the countryside. And when I drive out of my place, I go on a Camino, a local little back road. And I never put on my seatbelt. And only when I get onto the, what is a highway, sort of, do I actually put on the seatbelt. And this is a ritual for me. Usually it's because I got to take the garbage out, you know? So I have to do it all right. Anyway, so I get into my car, and the moment I get into my car, I watch myself put on my seatbelt. Now, that's not what I do. Now, my mind is watching this and going, what are you doing? Why are you breaking the pattern? you know, mind, eh? What is this all about? As if the mind would want me to take the seatbelt off because the timing was wrong, right? Why are you putting this on now? This is not right. And I know now, because I've lived this way a long time, I know that for whatever reason I got that belt on, it's on. So I drive down my little Camino, and I get onto the main road. And I pull up in the road to make a left into the place where I get my newspaper. And as I'm standing there, some old guy in his van, not seeing, drives right into me. Oh, whack! And as I'm moving forward, and I feel the seatbelt across my chest holding me from smashing my face into the windshield, I'm going, nice spleen, baby. And you know the truth of splenic people. They're the ones who always said, I know, I knew it was going to happen. But they only say that when they're in the hospital. I mean, they don't say that beforehand, protect themselves, go through it, survive, and then say, see, I knew and I knew and I did it. No, the mind gets in the way. See, what I had to learn was that my mind doesn't know that stuff. My mind did not know that I was about to get hit by a car. It didn't pick it up. It was confused by what I was doing. It still doesn't trust my spleen. You know, in those moments where I'm spontaneous and I say no or yes to whatever, and my mind is going, what the hell is that? What did you just do? And why? And why? Spleens never answer. You can't have a conversation with your spleen. You know, you can go on forever regurgitating in your head. You can talk about this and that and on and on and on. Spleen? Bang. See, it doesn't matter what my strategy is, how I play the game. It's knowing where my authority is. See, it's the one thing you have to understand about this knowledge. On the surface, there's only one value to it. It teaches you how to make decisions as yourself that changes your life. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what your life is, you make decisions as yourself, your life changes. And it changes for you. Most beings change their life through their strategy. Generators, projectors, reflectors. But manifestors change their life through their authority and their authority only. Everything else is a game. It's just a game to survive, to keep us from being beaten down, to give us our chance to feel what it's like to fulfill our potential. But you still have to know how to make a decision. See, I never understood that. I made so many bad decisions in my life, it is unbelievable I survived it. So many. Because I didn't know how. And the smarter you get, the more complex decision-making is on the mental plane. You go nuts making decisions up here. And your mind, it doesn't care whether it's right or not. I mean, that's the thing that people don't get. Your mind doesn't care whether the decision it makes for you works. It doesn't care. Oh, it didn't work. Okay, let's try something else. Oh, it didn't work. Let me make up an excuse why. It's never looking at the mind and thinking, geez, you're not really good at this. You know? I mean, people don't do this when they make a decision that goes bad, you know? It's like, maybe I'm using the wrong thing because we don't know how to think differently. Nobody ever told us that there's a place inside of us that actually knows how to run these lives without any problem. Nobody. I mean, when I think about all the children. See, when the knowledge was given to me, it was obvious to me that working with adults was the only way that I could get it into the world. But I also realized that I was given the hard work first. I mean, children? We homogenize our children from the moment they come into the world. Those of you who study PHS know this, that from the moment we put food into their mouths, we're already homogenizing them because we don't know how they are here to take in the specifics of nutrition. What is there to give them the fulfillment of their predisposition to be unique, to be differentiated? We homogenize our children. We are the byproducts of homogenization. The way we were fed, the way we were treated. See, to make a decision as yourself is to free yourself from all those false authorities. As a manifester, this is the only thing that saves me in this life, is that I have a place inside of me that is not something that needs to bow down to anything, anyone. No God, no concept, no being. This is what saves me as a person, is that I know how to operate on this plane. And that's what this life is about. Human beings are not comfortable with the way things work. 2 billion that are hungry. I mean, we live in a world that is so cruel. There is so much deprivation, pain, ignorance. It's horrendous out there. This is all the byproduct of mind. It's madness. You know, and the opportunity to be able to step out of that madness, what we call the normal world, where manifestors just run around alone and angry. Nice world. They don't know how to act. They don't know how to behave on this plane. It's so amazing, human beings, eh? You don't know even how to live on this plane. Because it's a decision-making world. See, we're moving in space. Everybody's got to remember that. Eh? It's one of the great mantras in life. Remember you're moving. Everything about life is direction. Everything about eliminating resistance is being able to follow what is your line, not somebody else's. Not somebody else's trip for you. Not somebody else's authority for you. Not somebody who's telling you which way to go. So you have somebody to blame when it's the wrong direction? See, the magic of this knowledge is that authority is there in each of us. You cannot get to peace as a manifester any other way than by your own authority. No other way. It's where the peace begins. See, this word is a word that's hard to understand because we see it, of course, as a cliche. What I'm really talking about is stillness. Of all the beings that are here on this planet, it is manifestors that can be the stillest. You know, this is a still, deep pool. If you disturb it, it's horrendous. It's such a mess. But if you allow it to settle, it is something truly profound. This is the manifester. It is this stillness that is there within this enclosed aura. This is the peace we seek, not the disturbance and ripples in that pond, the resistance that we meet simply because we have power to be alone, and it is resented. You know, people talk about the fact, for example, that we have memories going back hundreds of millions of years stored in our reptilian and mammalian brain about certain things, why people are afraid of spiders or whatever. I know that everyone who is not a manifester carries within them deep, deep fears and resentment about manifester. Carried it for millennia and millennia and millennia and millennia. Read all the holy books. They were written by manifestors. You will, you must, thou shalt. And if you don't, you will be punished. You know. Manifestors wrote all the rules. That's why it's so hard for human beings on this plane to live by them. They're not manifestors. And they remember. It's why when they meet our aura, that they don't trust us, that they're suspicious. That's the moment that we have to play the grand politics. Oh, I'm a nice manifester. Let me inform you. Let me tell you. Let me share with you. Oh, thank you for sharing, Ra. Yeah, yeah, okay. As long as it keeps you quiet, I will share with you what's enough to share with you. And then, you know, don't put a leash on me. See, we have to be free. You know, the horse in the pasture in all its glory. We are here to be free. We're here to live out the beauty of what it is to be us. There's nothing like us. There isn't. I have always thought of the other types as being alien. I have, really. I don't mean that in any kind of negative sense, but I mean, they're not like me. I mean, you know, some of my best friends are generators and projectors and reflectors, you know? No prejudice in that. Nonetheless, they're aliens. They're not like me. I know that. Because I watch their world. The way they connect to each other. The way it works for them. It's all really alien. All this cooperative stuff. You know? I mean, it's like looking at the generator world. Eh? Two-thirds of the planet are generators. You know, they're all locked in these kind of huge auras together. You know, vast generator cabal. Everybody doing things with each other and this and that. I don't understand that. See, I was always at the top of the pyramid. I never had any idea what was going on down there. I just told them what to do. I mean, being a manifester is not being one of the crowd. You know? I mean, it isn't. And oh, nothing sadder than seeing manifestors trying to be social. I mean, it can be painful, you know? Because they're not good at it. And sooner or later, everybody's going to notice. And then the real trouble begins, you know? I mean, if you added up all the people on the planet who have things said about them behind their back, manifestors are number one. We're right at the top of the list. You know? They will tell stories about us after we die, for generations. Your grandfather was the coldest son of a bitch that ever lived, you know? They'll tell stories forever. They don't get it. See, they're so happy that we're not in charge anymore, that they don't care about us. They don't. And if we don't make an effort, they will not make an effort. They won't. They'll just keep on backing away. And of course, because human beings are conditioned, and remember, the manifestor theme is the patina on top of what correctness is. If you're not correct as a manifestor, you already got your problems. The difficulties and dilemmas that I had in my life wasn't because I was listening to my spleen. It was because I was ignoring it, that my mind was being run by my open centers, that I was avoiding confrontation and truth. That was me. Everything about my life that was wrong was what I was not. And then things were really tough. You know, the glory for the manifester is that moment when you realize that once you have your own authority, you don't even have to play the game. You know? That's real peace. See, I play when it's appropriate to play. I let my spleen decide when to play nice manifester. Not often do I play nice manifester. I don't see the point anymore. And I don't see the point because, quite frankly, the great theme of the manifester that is correct is take me or leave me. You know, accept me or not. You either accept that this is what I am and you're only going to get as close as you're going to get, and you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get any closer than that. And if you can live with that, well, you're welcome. You know, and if you can't live with that, tough. Go someplace else. Don't get in my way. Don't get in the way of what this life is, because I want to tell you, it goes by so fast. In the swish of a hand, all of us are going to be dead soon, eh? It goes so fast. I mean, I still can't believe that I'm going to be 59 years old. I can't believe it goes that fast. It's not like you have all this time to enjoy the roses, you know? Took me half my life before I even figured out what the hell was going on. And it's wonderful to be here. See, I love the Maya. I love this illusion. It's all we got. It's the only movie we have. These are the roles that are played out. This is the way it goes. It's easy to see the dysfunction. It's easy to see the lack of awareness. It's easy to see all of these things. I can tell you how many babies die every hour. I can tell you how many billions of people don't have fresh water. I can go on and on and on and on and on. But my life through my own authority is perfect. That's what matters. Human design is very selfish knowledge. Understand that. It's for one person at a time. It's so that you can love yourself. The saddest thing that I know is the lack of love that human beings have for themselves. I don't think that there's anything sadder. I don't think there's anything more pathetic as a psychology than people who don't see their own beauty. And it's not their fault. I don't blame them. Nobody taught them. Nobody taught them how to find who they are. You can't love your not self. I couldn't love that man that avoided confrontation and truth, who never knew what enough was enough. I couldn't love that man. I didn't like him. He was not a nice man. He was not a good being. That was not somebody worthy of love. This man, oh, I love this guy. He's really sweet, you know? He's just what I always wanted to be, you know? Such a gift, out of nowhere. Bang, there it is. Look at that. Wow. It can be like this. It's such a surprise when you discover it. And then you get to see what you are. It's like all these people that are interested in incarnation crosses. I mean, it gives me a deep nausea when I hear all that, you know? As if somehow they know what the hell that is. Or somehow that means anything to them. Well, I'm on the cross of this and that. Oh, good for you, right? I didn't know what it was to be a clarion until I became a clarion. You don't have any idea what you are until you become it. And it takes you. It's the beauty of having your life. What it means to be taken by your cross. To discover that you're truly helpless and incompetent. And that your cross and your purpose is going to be fulfilled despite what you think. And you get to watch. This is what the passenger is here to do. This is what it's all about. It isn't about using your mind to guide your life. It's about enjoying your mind and its perspective and sharing that perspective with others. We are gregarious. We are social creatures, humans. And when you look at a body graph and you see that everything goes to the throat, it is essential to understand that our most important gift to each other is what we say to each other. And go out into the world and listen to the bullshit that you hear people say to each other. That they never speak the truth. They literally do not know how. It comes from their not self. It comes from their conditioning. I remember when I never told the truth. I mean, never told the truth. The only way you can avoid confrontation and truth if you have an open emotional system is to lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And the better your memory, the better the lies. I never had a real relationship with another human being. It was never me. It was the conditioning. Controlling my mind, making my decisions. What a mess. And not just my mess. As a manifester, we have impact. I messed up other people's lives. I mean, really? And you see, it's all so simple. It's always so simple. You come back to strategy. You come back to authority. You come back to the only thing that can actually give you a chance to see that being who is you. Not that conditioned being, because that's what we live with. That's what the world is. Not self, homogenized, blind. Always making decisions based on what? Based on somebody else's established rule. Based on their fear to go against it. Based on their conditioning. It's such a boring world when you see it from that perspective. How limited it is. How little diversity, in fact, there actually is. How densely homogenized the mind is. People don't know how to live. They only wait to die on this planet. It's the one thing I know about life here, is that most of them are just waiting to die. And most of them are relieved when it comes to an end, because they didn't know what it was for in the first place, and they didn't like it while they were here. The vast majority of humans have a really, really difficult time on this plane. I'm an elitist. Human design is elitist knowledge. You have to have money, you have to have luck, you have to have all kinds of things to be in this knowledge. It is not for everyone. It will never be for everyone. It is for a certain percentage of humanity that is ready to stop playing the normal game. trying to live out a life in which they are not who they are, where they're afraid of the government, the police, the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, the wives, the husbands, that everybody else's authority is more important than them, that they bow down and bow their heads all the time. Takes courage to stand on your own. See, I see us as being aspects of the divine. As I operate correctly in my life, I live out my divinity. And I don't mean that in any New Agey sense. I really don't. It is a mechanical truth. We are all filtering the consciousness field. We all live in the neutrino ocean. Each and every one of us has a unique expression of that, that is our potential. Not all this homogenized stuff where, you know, on Friday a billion people get down on their knees and point towards Mecca. Or the millions of people that are going to die of cancer. It's all homogenized. The moment that you do not live your uniqueness, you are open to the same diseases and problems of the homogenized world. And it's much more powerful than anything you can imagine. In the first 10 years I taught human design, I never told anybody about the not self because I was afraid that it would discourage them. No, really. Because the not self is so powerful. This who you are not. Remember, it's genetic. When you look at the whiteness in your chart, understand that those are receptors in you, genetic receptors in you, saying, I must have that other. That's what I'm missing, that's what I need, that's who I must be. It is so powerful. And from the moment you're born, because you're homogenized, because your parents don't feed you correctly, that you have neural shutdown when you're 3 years old, that you never get a chance to develop what is your unique cognitive potential, ever. And then on top of that, you're conditioned away from your type. You're not respected. I mean, what we do to those supposedly that we love. What a joke. How cruel that is. I was never treated with respect when I was growing up and my parents loved me. It wasn't that they did not love me. They just didn't know any better. I watched them destroy my brother. I mean, I just watched. I mean, at least I was a manifester, an ego manifester. I could stand up to the devil. It's so easy to destroy somebody. It's so easy to lead them astray. It's so easy to put them in that world out there where all that mundane, banal nonsense and lies rule. This is not common knowledge. You're not going to give this to the masses. You can't. They're not ready for it. They will never be ready for it. It isn't the way things are meant to be. We're coming to the end game of our time. And you see, in that end game opens up a window of possibility. We're living in a great time. Eh? We really are. We're living in a time where a human being can truly understand how to operate as themselves. It's not a big deal. I mean, when you think about the whole history of humanity, that nobody has ever been told just the way they operate. How much easier that makes your life. What a difference that is. And you see, when I first got the knowledge, I thought, wow, I'm going to turn on everybody. It's going to be so easy because it's so simple. It's so simple. This mind, eh? It won't let simple be. Smart people never like simple. I found that out in a hurry. I kept on telling smart people it was simple and they kept on asking for the complexity. It's so simple. And all it takes is the discovery of its truth. This is what experimentation is. You cannot believe or trust anybody that tells you that. You can only find out for yourself. And the moment that you enter into that process, you discover it in a hurry. What kind of a difference that makes. And that's all it takes. And I look out. It's over 20 years now. I watch the movie. It's an amazing thing for me, you know, to see how difficult it is to get human beings to recognize a simple truth, one that they can empirically test themselves, that is so easy to test. And then you understand what it means when I say that this is not universal knowledge. It isn't. I am here to teach anyone who will listen how to be abnormal. That's my work. How to be abnormal and love yourself for it. How to find the beauty of your difference. Oh, how wonderful it is to meet people who are different, who truly can express something that is theirs, that is theirs. I've read everything. I'm not interested in all that stuff rehashed. I don't need somebody to reinterpret for me somebody else. I don't need to sit in discussions of philosophical concepts that have been thrashed around and emptily for ages. Give me somebody's unique perspective. And you see, each and every one of you, this is what you're here for. And you only have a unique perspective when it comes out of a unique life. When you're not normal. When you don't bow down to everyone's authority. When your life isn't ruled by what you think are responsibilities that lock you in, that deny you a chance to see things for what they are and for you to be correct. In correctness, you don't abandon anything. You simply operate correctly. There's room for everything, but you have to be correct. It's still strategy and authority. And for manifestors, every time you meet one, many of you are professionals, every time you meet one, do what you can to save them. You know? They are, in fact, very useful creatures and have a contribution to make. And it's very hard to get to them. You know, the only way you get to a manifestor is quite literally if you really love them. Because it's hard otherwise to get them to learn about themselves enough to understand what it is to be okay with being a manifester. And at the moment that the manifester operates out of their strategy, this game that they play, rooted in their authority, you get peace. You do. But more than that, you get to see how wonderful you are. You are. We all come into this life, and by the time we're 10 years old, we think we have problems. We think that other people are better than us. We think that there are things about us that are not good. things about us that we wish we would change or fix. It's so sad. When I first started to tour, and I would do these endless readings with people, the one thing that was so obvious to me is how much they hated themselves. How they would break down. How every time that I would put my finger on a negative in their not self, they'd go, oh yes, that's me, oh yes. And I'd say, no, that's not you. That's what you've been living. That's not you. This is the only freedom for us. You have to be yourself. For whatever it is for me to be a manifester with my configuration and this and that and blah, 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 the only thing that saves me is that I'm correct. And I get my life. My life. I don't care whether other people agree with it, like it, don't like it, like me, don't like me, this and that, blah. Who cares? I finally have peace. And nobody can disturb that. Nobody can put their finger into my openness and pull me away from my peace. All that's over. And I have learned to see that there's nothing wrong with me. That I'm as good a lover as anyone. That I can express my love as well as anyone. But from a closed door. My variation on a theme. What to do. And if you don't like the variation, hey, it's okay with me. You know, find something you like. Okay, that's it for today.